Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
To discuss everything that is college football. Obviously, week 9 is here in more ways than one for this Hurricane fan. The Miami Hurricanes are trying to just sneak by, as they normally do, a really down North Carolina team. Hopefully the quarterback doesn't go out. But anyway, we're here to preview, banter, predict week 9. We will touch upon week 8. In fact, that's where we'll start. Pretty crazy week last week, week 8. If you look at some of the marquee matchups, pretty much blowouts, right? We did have, you know, some important games that went down to the wire and whatnot. But the marquee games, not like there were a ton of them, but they definitely didn't live up to that. Now, week 9's big. There's a variety of ranked versus ranked teams. A couple of them, just like last week, will serve as kind of one game win or go home scenarios pertaining to the top 4 semifinal playoffs. And speaking of, this is the last week before this coming Tuesday, in a handful of days, for the first college football playoff rankings. So that's another important kind of it's not your last chance, obviously, to impress, but it is your last chance for a first ranking. And as we know, sometimes those rankings don't mean a whole lot, you know, when push comes to shove. So like I said, we will start the show off with a little bit of recap. It's obviously been a week now, so, you know, we're not going to dive too deep into that. But we got to cover a little bit, but we will get, you know, into week 9 as well. And it won't be that crazy long of a show. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Marshall right now. I'm going to contact Scott, see if he can call in real quick too. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's been cold weather to what my kids feel in Texas is cold. It was kind of funny. We had our last football practice of the year yesterday. It was like 45 degrees and windy. So to Texas kids, that felt like probably like minus 10 outside for you and I were used to growing up in the Midwest. So a little bit of a cold drift coming through, which reminds me of home. I know I talked to my dad, who doesn't live too far away from me, yesterday, saying they got a little bit of snow. So the fall weather's coming, which in theory normally means that we got good football on the way. But now it seems like all the games are going to be starting up here pretty quick in the afternoon compared to the evening. But fall weather and football normally go hand in hand, man. And that helps people make it through cold weather back up north.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, now that even the NBA starting 2 weeks earlier, you know, there's just so many sports going on right now. And you're right,
yeah.
The 2:30 as far as Central Time, 3:30 Eastern, that
sure.
Slot has all the big games. It really does. And I assume there's another baseball game tonight. Is that the thing?
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I know there's baseball, but you would assume that, like, the Ohio State game was kind of scheduled out in advance, and it just makes you scratch your head a little bit to see that, like, maybe three of the top games today are all at 2:30, so I'm just one
of those
kind of
weird. Well,
that's
what I think it is, because you're looking at, like, 15 to 17 if it's a good game and goes down to the wire,
mm-hmm.
possibly peaking at 20 million people. So I think that's what it has to do with. They just didn't
sure.
want to get the primetime games, like, going head-to-head per se, the quality ones anyway. There is a interesting game in primetime on ABC between Oklahoma and Texas Tech. That could be a shootout. But you're right, it is kind of strange to see that lineup of – I mean, usually there's good 2:30 games, don't get us wrong, but, when it is just jam-packed, all three of them at that time – it is kind of strange. As far as last week goes, let's just do a quick wrap-up. Obviously, like I mentioned, the two biggest games that we were looking at as far as, like, kind of like this week where it's like a one-game playoff scenario, potentially anyway, the games, it was a shocker to me. I did not see that happening. Obviously, Notre Dame smacking your squad in the mouth, 49-14. I was taken back from that one. That's for sure. I just didn't see that happening. That was a shocker. And then Penn State just smacking Scott's team around too, just beating up Michigan 42-13. I definitely was. Pretty shocked, not necessarily at the outcome win-lose type thing, but the way it happened, that was pretty much a shocker. A couple other games that come to note, Oklahoma State snuck by Texas. It looks like they're in better shape today, the last I saw anyway. Central Florida got a good test from Nevada. They passed, though, so they remain unbeaten. And Baylor almost beat West Virginia. Baylor is like, they don't win, but they're in plenty of games. It's kind of funny how that works. But they obviously have some things going on in their program that they're still trying to sort out. And my Miami squad,
no.
Yeah, right? 27-19 over Syracuse, that Syracuse team that beat Clemson the week before. I looked at that spread. It was almost at 16, and I thought, wow, really? I mean, the Hurricanes – They're tight with everybody. Why the hell, including today? In fact, they're struggling. Their quarterback's a little banged up. But like I said, Oklahoma State's still up 30-17 late in the third quarter over West Virginia. Wisconsin leading Illinois as well. And my squad, the Gophers, got off the schneid Big Ten-wise. You know, they've been in most of the games. The Michigan State game, I'd say – yeah, they were in it, but Michigan State pretty much beat them, whereas the other two Big Ten games, they're right in the game. You know, just one play or two plays here or there, and finally Minnesota got over the hump. Now they got to go to Iowa at night, and you know how that goes. It's generally
not
a fun trip
never easy.
To go there. But you're right.
Now,
the
let
weather
me ask
has turned
you.
A little bit. There's sleet in the air yesterday. It didn't really stick. But it was kind of funny to see, you know, that snow / sleet in the air. It was like, whoa, okay, I guess we're starting winter off. When I the news, they always 6-7 inches, 10 inches is coming, you know, and they'll say that five and at six, and then check back with us at 10 o'clock. We'll tell you all about tomorrow, and you know they want everybody to stay inside and keep updated with their news every 4 hours or whatever, but. We really didn't get much at all. In fact, none of it stayed, and it was really wet, so it really was just cold rain, you know what I mean? But the temperature, luckily the temperature was high enough to where it didn't, you know, turn into something concrete, because it would have been a fair amount of snow had that stayed there. But what was your question, buddy?
Iowa being a night and the Gophers on the rise this year, are Herbstreit and Fowler calling that game tonight, or are they elsewhere?
Well, see, that's why they held off those primetime games, you know, the 2:30
slot.
They put them back because that's actually the primetime game. You know, the World Series is thinking about rescheduling. They're still thinking about pushing it back a couple hours just because they know they can't compete. They can't row the boat as fast, you know.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Let me give a little eulogy to my USC Trojans national title hopes. Unfortunately, as usual, when this year ends, there will be another year of people saying that, oh, USC came in here overhyped and they let people down for a national title. Now, clearly, going for a national title in college football is not super easy unless you're Alabama. But they did have a lot of hype. They had a top quarterback. And it just seems like we never really got into a rhythm from day one. Not having a bye, I think, has definitely played a factor against them. They've been banged up with injuries after playing Stanford and Texas. I don't think they've ever been healed that much. I was looking at games to kind of pick and bet today, and I checked some teams' injury reports, and I see one or two people listed. And this year, USC's had about 20 guys listed for, like, the last month. I know part of that's just bad luck, but it's like, holy cow. Like, I was looking at a team like Virginia or just randomly today, and they had, like, two people on their injury list. And USC, you got, like, a page and a half. So I think last week was just kind of a culmination of, the Washington, the stud receiver, Oklahoma State went down, he's flipping off. That's good. I think it was just a combination of a tough schedule, a quarterback not performing up to the pressure you're supposed to perform to, and the defense probably being worn out because our offense has really kind of let us down in games this year where they weren't really supposed to. And my last point is I got to put a little bit of blame on the head coach because, as I find out coaching, and as you know, when teams come out unprepared, some of that does go on the coach. Not all of it, but some of that does come on the head coach to have your team mentally prepared. And we've had quite a few games this year where in the first half, USC just didn't really come out looking prepared. It happened in Utah. In Texas, they let early possession slip away. And against Notre Dame, they came out just kind of in a funk. So I think everything I've said kind of wraps up to explain that beatdown from last week. And now USC maybe can get on a roll, but now they're playing tonight an Arizona State team who's smoking on fire. And, yeah, that's my little eulogy for the USC Trojans' chances of making the Final Four. They obviously could still win the Pac-12, but, man, just too many things that seem to go against us. Wrapped up a tough year in the sense of a national title hope, and that is that. But we'll see how things go from this point on, my friend.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I would do a eulogy for my Gophers, but I'm about a month too late. So, you know, but I may be doing one by the end of this show here because, you know, that Cardiac Canes who cannot run the ball today. They're having some major struggles running the ball. Inconsistency in the passing game. But right now we have 39 yards rushing. That's just not going to do it. We've given up some sacks, it looks like, too. But, yeah, man, it's
Let me ask you, buddy. I mean, now that my USC national hopes are done, as a Gopher fan quickly, before we kind of keep rolling the show, have you noticed progress with your team? Like, from day one, do you feel that your team is going in the right direction with a new coach, or is it still kind of him trying to fit in his system with kids that aren't quite his? Like, would you say as a Gopher fan that you're seeing improvement in areas that you maybe didn't expect, or things are going good, or you're kind of staying neutral? What's your overall take on your spot? Because I know we like to talk about our teams a little bit on the shows, you know, whether they're having great years or bad years or in the middle, so be it.
Right. You're certain to – you're starting to see improvement. A couple of key areas we've had some injuries to, and just not a deep team whatsoever, especially this year just in general. Sometimes when you bring in a new, new coach, you'll have people leave. I think we had two offensive linemen leave that were, you know, that had been starting for a couple of years, but they just didn't fit the mode, and he wanted them to lose a little bit of weight, that type of thing, and that always makes it weird. And but I have seen some improvement from individual players, and you can see how, for instance, we were a 4-3, but we switched it just because of depth at linebacker and lack of depth at defensive line where we just went to a 3-4 and said, screw it. You know what I mean? So there has been some developments there you can see. But, yeah, I mean, it is year one. Obviously, something that you look at is recruiting as well at this point. And that is, that's been a pretty big positive. So that's always, you know, that's always a good thing. That's how you're going to start to get that. But yeah, there's been a couple of, players, a couple wide receivers, especially, which doesn't surprise me because he was a wide receiver, the head coach Fleck. So he usually gets a lot out of his wide receivers if you look at his track record, but,
sure.
I like what I see as far as recruiting. I like what I see. We still have that that no matter what, we're going to go to the end for the most part type thing too. We're kind of we're good when it comes to that, like trying really hard type thing. You know what I mean? Like we're not out of it. We're still going to grind, but I feel like we already kind of had some of that, you know, in our system because that's the thing. And that's where I want to kind of leave judgment in the first year or two a little away from it just because, you know, we did have, considering anyway, track record-wise, we did have some success prior to him being here. So it is one of those things where you go, well, you know, we showed we can compete with anybody the last 3-4 years. So I can't really give him any credit for that just yet, you know what I mean? It'll be
yeah.
How we finish games and stuff like that. And, you know, we did have a little – one of our quarterbacks who is starting now, he probably should have been getting more playing time, and he would have, but he did have some personal issues that came up, and it kind of derailed him for a couple of weeks. So I think our quarterback play could have been a little bit better, which in the end would have helped. But I do like what I see in spots, you know what I mean, definitely. Yeah, this Miami squad is they're up 17-13 because, you know, it's fourth quarter and they got to make it dramatic, the cardiac Canes. So, but yeah, I'm a little worried about the quarterback, Malik Rozier. He's a little inconsistent in general, but he's definitely a playmaker. But he got banged up and he's been in and out of the game twice now and his shoulder's kind of messed up and I believe it's his throwing arm and you just, I don't know, man. They really need him because it's kind of, you know, Brad Kaya was a guy who had started all 3 years and he left early as a junior and really poor decision because he got drafted really late and then he's already been cut twice, you know, and he's on a practice squad. So it's like, you know, well, why the hell would you go pro just to end up on a practice squad? You know, don't get me wrong. If your family circumstances are there, yeah, I get it. But clearly that was not the case for him at all. So quarterback's a little light. We got some young, talented ones, but we really are trying to hold off on we want to redshirt one of them. We want to really develop them. And we're really hoping this Rozier can stay healthy because he's a junior and this is his first year starting. He did get a random start a couple of years back due to injury, but he's a good player. He just needs his mechanics. He's a little loosey goosey. He was a baseball player as well at Miami. And sometimes guys with those big arms feel like they can just get it there, and it's not that he throws a bunch of bad passes as far as decision wise, but he just kind of lofts balls and floats balls, and you know, he's not that accurate consistently just yet, but it would be really nice for them to have a junior quarterback to have him be able to have a senior year. And then, you know, we got a guy who came in this year, but he didn't even come early or nothing, so he just got here in the summer. He's not ready to play, but in 2 years, the guy might be a perfect protege for the system that we run. So I'm really hoping that Rozier can stay healthy and finish off this run here overall. But, yeah, they're winning, but they're winning Canes style this year where they just do good enough, you know. And that's the
sure.
thing. The offense has been, just inconsistent. You know, at times they'll put up 24 points and a half, you know, but then they kind of let it go as well. Is there any other things that you want to talk about as far as last week or pertaining to anything that stood out to you? Otherwise, we should probably start to get into some of these. Number 2 Penn State, number 6 Ohio State, number 9 Notre Dame, number 14 North Carolina State. A lot of games on the docket to get to. What else you got as far as, you know, week 8 or just variety of stuff, you know?
The only, I guess, point I'll make to move on to next week is that I've now watched that Central Florida team play a couple of games. That, Chris, that team's nasty. If you're going for a top six or a New Year's Six bowl game, I do not want to play those boys. That is a damn good football team, and I've been super impressed. I honestly would put them at top 10 in the country because they're big. They got receivers. Their quarterback appears to be okay, but I mean that is just a nasty good team, and it was kind of cool. They played Navy last week. And to symbolize the Navy offense, their quarterback, Scott Frost, was the scout quarterback for the week in practice. And he used to run the triple option in Nebraska. So, I mean, you can just kind of tell, like, oh, dude, that's got to be one of the coaches all the players love. If your coach is gearing up and being the scout team quarterback and running drills in practice, like, you know, you just got something rolling there. So,
it's a good recruiting tool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely. So if I would not be surprised they're undefeated by the end of the year. If they basically have no one to play that's a huge name, and then at the end of the year it might be them in South Florida to see who could finish up top that division. But that Central Florida team, Knights, from where our good old boy Dante Culpepper went to school, that is a nasty, nasty team that I would not want to play later in the season in whatever bowl they might end up in. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they stay undefeated. That's just a damn good team outside of the top Power Five.
Is that a Thanksgiving special, too? Is that the last day of the regular season, you said? I think it is that they meet.
I think so. I think so.
Man, I got to find a way to get Thanksgiving off. Of course, I'll be able to see most of the games because we're open, but we don't open till like 7 that night.
Sure.
So I'll probably be able to get to see most of the games during the day, but, it looks like my Canes for now anyway. You know, at the beginning of the week, I said if they could just put the game away with like 12 minutes in the fourth quarter, I'd be just happy with that. That's fine. So there's no, like, last-second drama, not even the last 5 minutes drama. And here we are, chunk of, you know, 3 minutes into a little bit more, over 5 minutes into the fourth quarter. 24-13. Looks like my Canes have gotten a little bit of stretch there, but obviously, as we know, especially in college football, it is never over. Rozier, all of a sudden, his stats are looking crazy good. He's 15-35, which is not good, but he has 349, 3 touchdowns. He's really picked it up. We finally got a couple of runs that got us going. But this Jeff Thomas, true freshman, really starting to put up some numbers. He caught a deep ball. So let's hope that maybe the defense can create a turnover, get that turnover chain out, and then put it on ice. Scott is actually busy. He's in Vegas doing some editing stuff for basketball. But But that you know, it's all good.
I might have to meet up with him. I'm heading down there next week, so I might have to see if Scott will be in Vegas next week and meet up with that guy.
Yeah, he's actually based. He like lives in Arizona, but he spends a lot of time in Vegas. So you know, maybe he'll be up there again. It
we can
is
do a Vegas edition, a Vegas edition podcast.
That would be dope. 30-24, Oklahoma State with the ball, I may add. West Virginia down 30-24. They made it a nice little game here because Oklahoma State earlier kind of seemed like, all right, well, looks like they got this in the bag. It was 23-3, I remember. They even got it to 30-10, but now looks like a punt block return for a touchdown, and then an interception return for a touchdown. That'll do it. That will do it. 30-24. Wow, that was click. I didn't even know that all that stuff happening. That's crazy. That's college ball for you. So anyway, I think we should start getting in to some of these matchups, man, because they are juicy. They are juicy, no doubt about it. Like I said, there's several games on the docket, ranked versus ranked. Basically, one game, winner-go-home scenarios pertaining to that college football playoff rankings. This is key, and that's what's fun about, you know, there's like so many different, I mean, four different parts of the country, right? But there's so many different things that can play out, and it's just kind of fun to have these really quarterfinals for the rest of the time out, in a sense. You know what I mean? I guess you could say maybe we'd have to take it even further back, maybe the round of 32, but it's kind of nice that they actually, this stuff gets decided on the field rather than just, you know, the rankings and all that like it used to be. But number two, Penn State at number six, Ohio State. Obviously, this is a rematch from a fun, crazy game last year. It was huge for Penn State. It really, you know, they kind of started their role. Regular season-wise, by the way, hasn't ended. I think they've won 16 straight or 17 straight in the regular season anyway. But Minnesota in overtime, their win that they got early last year really started their role. And it kind of put them on the forefront of making a case, because I think it was it Pittsburgh that they lost to last year? It's either Pittsburgh or Boston College. I can't remember.
They lost,
I think it was
to Pitt. Yeah.
It was Pitt.
Pitt. Yep.
It was a tight game, too. They had a chance to win it at the end. There was an interception. I remember that in the end zone. But they had been on a run. And regular season-wise, they're still on that run. And this is what kind of put them, you know, up in the upper echelons all of a sudden. Like, oh, wow, Penn State beat Ohio. Oh, my God. And, you know, there was all that drama of, you know, they won their division. But, you know, Michigan beat up on them. And they got them back for that. So it's kind of interesting here. Obviously, quarterback duel, you know, Trace McSorley playing great. Same with JT Barrett the last, like, four or five outings. The Ohio State, in general, has been on fire offensively. Now we'll see once they've actually, you know, faced a quality team, which they're going to do in about 25 minutes or so. That's where we got to see, can that offense really show up, not just against mediocre or pretty good clubs, that type of thing. Two things that stand out to me, Marshall. One, the horseshoe, obviously, right? A lot of people there, which it's not the end-all, be-all. But then back-to-back victories over Urban Meyer has never been easy, you know. In fact, it's really hard, obviously.
True.
So those two things combined with JT Barrett in that passing game getting better anyway, I still want to see it, though, on the field against a quality opponent, because they did kind of get whooped on their last two times they faced a quality opponent. Clemson just terrorized them. And Oklahoma beat them pretty solidly, if you look at that game, once they got going in that second half. I felt like they were in control of that game, and then the second half, it got way out of control. But my pick is Ohio State 30, Penn State 27. What do you say to that, my friend?
Okay, if you're not sitting down, you might want to brace yourself, Chris. But in this game, I actually am more of a coach hater on Franklin than Urban Meyer. I'm, for once, more anti-coach than Meyer in a football game, because I think that Franklin guy is a prick, and I don't think he honestly even cares about what the stuff he says. So, screw Penn State.
You know, this is the first time I've heard you say that. Every other time I've heard you even talk about Franklin, it's been positive. I've never heard you say that.
Oh, I can't. He's a scumbag. But I don't know if So with that being said,
No. Hold on. You can't just breeze by that. What? Why is he a scumbag? What am I missing?
I thought you were joking. It just seems like whenever I hear him in the media, he's just one of those guys that enjoys running up the score. Has to make his comment. They played someone this year, and he compared that win against. Well, that was like how we beat Pitt last year, or when he called like a timeout with like 20 seconds left in the game. He's up 40 on to like bringing his back a field goal kicker. It's every time I hear about him in the news, whether it's a comment or run up the score somebody does in the game, it just drives me nuts. I don't have like a.
So he's an asshole. He's not a scumbag. So he's more of an asshole. Because scumbag makes you think he's doing extracurricular.
Oh, no, it's just
like when you say scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, especially, I think what did it was the Urban Meyer thing. Like, to go over Urban Meyer in your hate, that's what threw me off.
Yeah.
Like, what? What's going on? I'm not totally with it right now, but I'm not that far off of it right now. Am I? That's what threw me off. I got you. Okay.
Well, that's what I told you. I'm hoping you're sitting down to not to have any damage done to you, sir. With that being said, this is one of those games, as you mentioned, where can Meyer actually, win one of the big games that used to always be kind of an automatic lock that if Meyer was in a close game, he was going to win. But of their last five games, he's lost three of them. So it is kind of head-scratching to think a guy like Meyer who, a couple years ago on our show, it's like, oh, Ohio State's in a close game. Well, I can't send a coach, but you can't bet against them. And that tide has kind of changed. And the counterpoint and point I've heard this week is it seems like people are on both sides, Chris. On one hand, Ohio State's been on a war path since they lost Oklahoma. But on the other hand, how much credit do you give a team that kicks the tar out of Maryland and Rutgers? Like, okay, you scored 50 and 55 points in the game. What does that truly say about you? In regards to a team that could still be a national contender, like is a Rutgers win like super impressive? So I'm just going to lean towards Penn State. Now I won't bet on them because I don't want that. I'm going to stay away and watch the game. But I actually think Penn State's going to win just because they got the best player on the field, and Ohio State has kind of been in that funk last couple of games of losing them. But if Penn State loses, I'll definitely throw a couple of fist pumps. But if I was to bet, I would take Penn State plus the 6. I think they pull off a sneaky victory. I'll go 27-24 with like a last-second field goal. That's my summary. I think Penn State's having a good year. I'll just stop there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could have asked similar questions to Penn State too. That's the way I kind of looked at it too, heading into last week's game. At least they had played like Iowa though. You know what I mean? Iowa on the road. That was a good team, a pretty good team. I mean, the circumstance. Iowa's not necessarily that good of a team, but the circumstances that they were in, they managed to, sneak by, but they got the job done, 21-19 or whatever. So I kind of think it is more of a, let's see where they're at, prove it. And by the way, 37-24 now, Oklahoma State goes up. And Miami, their defense stepped up, got a pick and put them in pretty good situation to at least put a field goal up. And they threw a pick. Miami did. Rozier did. At the 9-yard line. So, you got to keep it interesting. You know what I mean? Like, ratings wise, you don't want to sit there and put the game on ice or anything like that. That'd be silly. Why would you want to do anything like that? I mean, shh, that is just no fun. Number 9, Notre Dame versus number 14, North Carolina State, North Cackalacka State. Not necessarily a stronghold for football, but has had an okay program throughout the years. They've definitely put out some quarterbacks in the league. Man, not to bring it up, but last week the Irish put 377 rushing yards on your Trojans, and they didn't use a Trojan. They just went right to it, just raw dog on your defense. And the only blemish for the Wolfpack on their ledger came from South Carolina. And by the way, South Carolina is an improved program compared to where they've been the last, like, say, 3 years. They're a better club, so it's not the worst thing. Here's the thing. NC State will have to bring its A game. It can't. It's got to play all the way up to the level. And defensively, it's going to have to put its big boy pants on, because stopping that rush game, bringing Wimbish back just in time for that USC game, they already got a really good running back, but to add a running quarterback into that mix where they were with him or without him, they were still rushing the shit out of the ball, that's a good combination. So I'm going with that dominant ground game. In an otherwise tight ball game, though, but I'm going with the ground game. That's the difference maker. 34-30. I still have it pretty close for that game. I really want to. I like to see that bounce back off of a high. You know, off of a just a destroying a team that usually is a very good game, very good game. I mean, we could track a couple of games in the last 10 years that stand out. I remember a certain player pushing another certain player into the end zone. That was an awesome game right there. That was a phenomenal game. Now that I look back at that, what do you say about this one, man? NC State looks like they're pretty good. I just think Notre Dame's got it all going at the. You know, Notre Dame's made a really great improvement on defense. I got to give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, everyone speaks very highly of NC State's front seven. I think that'll obviously be tested with how Notre Dame's been running the ball. I think Notre Dame will be very interesting because, I mean, it's true. If they find a way to run the table, they will make it to the Final Four. But, I mean, they got NC State. They got Wake. I think they got Miami. They got Navy. They have a hell of a schedule left.
Yeah.
Stanford, I think those are the final five. So I guess if you can pull that
out.
You
can't really look ahead, I suppose. You can't get caught looking ahead because,
because all five of those teams that are playing are legit teams that are just as good or can give them a run for their money. So I think now kind of begins the run of, well, you beat USC, which obviously is a good win, and they took care of business, to say the least. I don't know. I've seen NC State play when they beat Florida State, and obviously that Florida State win is losing credibility week by week, which makes me very happy. I enjoyed seeing BC just smoke Florida State last night. That was a thing of beauty, and I know you didn't shed any tears over that either. So I'm going to take NC State. I just because I literally, besides the USC, I haven't seen Notre Dame play a game either. So I would take NC State with the 7 points. I do think you're coming off a little bit of a high. They do have to feel a little bit of pressure in Notre Dame. We're looking to maybe run the table. We have a hard schedule coming. Chris, of the big match that it is, these are two teams I really have not seen play much. So I would just take the 7 points with an NC State team that's coming off a bye week. They have this game circled. I guess the coaches were kind of pissed off because – Notre Dame gets to kind of pick whoever they want to play in the ACC, and they have to their home games and all that stuff. So for whatever reasons, I will take the Wolfpack +7, and I hope that they do find a way to win today, because if I have to stomach down the road watching a Penn State-Notre Dame Final Four game, my God, I probably wouldn't even watch the game. So I'm praying that all that doesn't occur, and I want to put an end to that as soon as I can. So NC State plus 7, but I won't pick them to win. I'll just pick them to cover.
Interesting. And where did you hear that Notre Dame gets to pick their teams who they play in the ACC?
Well, I was listening to a podcast, and
they have a contract that they have to
sure.
play five a year, but I've never heard that they got to pick them.
Or well, I, you know, he mentioned about how he was upset about that the NC State coach was upset that, you know, that, well, they just get to pick who they want to play, and maybe that was just a slang word of mouth, and maybe I do kind of wonder. I mean, maybe Notre Dame does get
well,
to pick.
Well, they don't have
you know,
to be in a conference. They don't have to be in a conference.
Well, didn't they contract, though, with the ACC?
Yeah.
Don't they have to play five ACC games every
year?
That's what I said. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to play five. That's what people are pissed at, that they didn't have to belong into a conference. But if you look at their non-conference, I mean, their non-conference is USC, Stanford. Like, you know, it's pretty tough year in and year out, Notre Dame's schedule. In fact, you can make an argument, it's probably too tough.
But for whatever reason, the NC State coach wasn't happy they had to go on the road. Now, for what that reason is, I'm not exactly sure. But maybe they do kind of get a choice of a couple home games. I don't know. But I just thought throw it in. And, you know, the NC State coach was even more excited for that game due to whatever reason he was upset about. The technicalities of them, I'm not exactly sure. But they're coming off a bye. And, I mean, they're also ranked. They're having themselves a really nice year. Besides their South Carolina slip-up, I mean, they are in first place in the ACC. They're above Clemson because Clemson has a conference loss. I mean, in theory, it's crazy to think about it, but, I mean, NC State does kind of control their own destiny. Like, obviously you still got to play Clemson, but
even beyond
the
nice game,
and in theory, they could lose this game and still in the ACC because this truly doesn't count. But overall, I think – we will get a good idea of what kind of team NC State and Notre Dame are. I mean, Notre Dame clearly they destroyed USC last week, but is Notre Dame really that good, or did USC kind of just crap the bed and just kind of combination everything together? So I expect a closer game than obviously what my Trojans put up on the field last week. God, that was embarrassing. That was one of the worst games I've seen as a USC fan since 2004. That was tough to stomach. But, yeah. With that being said, a game that I think, in my opinion, Chris, should be maybe the most fun to watch out of all, out of the three, you can maybe argue is TCU-Iowa State. Because Iowa State's a team that apparently is on a roll. They found a way to beat Oklahoma, third-string quarterback. They went down to Texas Tech, and that's not an amazing win, but their defense played a defense against Texas Tech, and they limited them, which is normally very hard to do. And now they get TCU coming into their house. And TCU is a team where if they run the table, they have a legit good chance of making a deep run. They're fourth in the country. They're undefeated. Going into this game, I like the mindset or the ideas I hear of that TCU's got coaching Gary Patterson, who is a mastermind at genius at defense. And every week he finds a way to make you do what you don't enjoy doing on offense. And he's very good at it. He made Oklahoma State's offense look embarrassing. And every week it seems like he game plans something different week by week, which I think is tremendously tough to do with a short preparation and trying to teach your kids new stuff. But, so TCU's on a roll. Their quarterback this year doesn't seem to make mistakes in Kenny Hill. I think they have a lot of momentum going from a TCU standpoint. I know, obviously, live in Fort Worth, and people are excited for that, but there almost seems to be a little bit of hesitance because TCU hasn't been on this high of a mantle for a little bit. And then you have Iowa State, who everyone seems to love whenever Iowa State's at home. They kind of have something special about their stadium in Ames, Iowa. And I've kind of heard pros and cons on both sides. So I actually think this should be a pretty fun game to watch, Chris, because TCU is a touchdown favorite, coach with a defensive mind. Or you take an Iowa State team who found a way to beat Oklahoma with third-string kicker, and since then they've been on a roll. I think TCU gets it done in a very close game. So I would not take them to win by 7, but I'll take them to win. I like the more skilled players, but picking against Iowa State at home is, to a lot of people, kind of a crazy idea. What's your take on this game, my friend?
Well, just backing up to that NC State coach really quick, they're not
sure.
They're outside the ACC Notre Dame, their schedule. They had Georgia, Michigan State, USC, and Navy, and Stanford. So I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, I wanted to make sure we clear that up. Anyway, here's the deal. You know, the fact that the Cyclones have already pulled off the major upset this year, it just decreases the odds so much that they can upend an unbeaten TCU. You know what I mean? And I really think that the fact that they did that, right, they beat Oklahoma and upset them, it kind of feels like the Horned Frogs, like their antennas would be, you know, on high alert, fully focused at the task at hand. So I think that's, unless TCU comes out and just lays an egg and just plays poorly, I don't see the, you know, I think the better overall team will get the job done. And I think that they'll get it done, and they still have complete control of their destiny. Actually, I do have it. I called for it being a 27-20, though, so I did give Iowa State, in what you were talking about, just they do seem to find something this year. And, you know, at home, you know, they definitely play pretty good. No doubt about it. Well, I was going to say, you know, that I talked about it really quick, that Texas Tech-Oklahoma game, I'm not calling for the Red Raiders to win the game, but I'm pretty confident that they can come under the spread. I didn't check it recently. I saw it a couple days ago. It was at 20. So I could see Texas Tech sneaking under that that number. Even if it's now 18, I could maybe see that sneaking under. And I could just see it potentially turning into one of those games that, you know, turn into just a Big 12, you know, just a fun kind of back-and-forth game. I could see that being a shootout. God, what was the other – I was going to say something to a point that you made a little while ago, and I just forgot. I just plumb forgot what the hell I was going to say to you. It's 43-31 now, Oklahoma State. And, of course, because, you know, the Miami Hurricanes probably lead – well, I shouldn't say this. Maybe the ACC. They lead the ACC probably in three and outs. I swear to God they do. They have to. They're just the king of three and outs, dude. It's just nuts, man. It seriously is nuts. And what makes it worse now is they got a chance to lose this game. It's 24-19. The problem is they got the onside kick, right? Yeah, great, got it. But Miami fumbled. They recovered it, but fumbled it. They ended up fumbling the onside kick after, you know, containing it and being just fine. They literally fumbled the damn thing. So now we're here a little past midfield, and anything can happen now when you leave it open like this. And that's why I kind of wanted to see them close it out, but if you look at the offense, I really can't blame this on the defense, because between the three and outs and not taking advantage of some scoring opportunities in the even in the fourth quarter, they could have had at least a field goal and not given the ball back. And now it's just kind of – now it's just the football gods are in control of it now, Marshall. The football gods. I'll tell you what. And, you know – in case you didn't know, the football gods haven't been that good to my Canes in the last 10 years. So we'll see. 10-plus years. I'm still waiting on that. You know, it's a little tougher to get to 10 wins this year because regular season-wise, you know, because they actually have one less game. They only play 11 games. So they'd have to be 10-1. which kind of sucks because I really wanted to try to get to 10-2 this year. They haven't won 10 games. You know, I hear complaints out of your side a little bit, but they haven't won 10 games, Marshall, since 2004. 2004, Marshall. Before we even met, you'd be on your third team by now. I'm just kidding. I mean, it's rough. It's definitely rough. But let's keep it going here. We do have a couple other games to talk about, and then we'll get out of here. I kind of want to – that Arizona, that West Virginia, I got that stuck in my head. I'm really looking forward to see how good Arizona is. They got a home game against Washington State. Washington State 2 weeks ago, you know, had that debacle where they just got – I think it was Cal, right, 37-3 or something. It was just like, wow, dude, what happened? And now you got Khalil Tate in that Rich Rod type system for Arizona. They need a guy that can kind of do it all at quarterback, and they found it with Khalil Tate, it seems. So Arizona's kind of been on the up and up. They've had that newfound swag from Khalil Tate and all the numbers he's putting up. Right now, Vegas has the Cougars as a one-point favorite on the road. I'm really looking forward to see that. Arizona State is improved this year as well against USC. I think that's going to be a very tough game. And don't be surprised if Northwestern at home takes Michigan State to the brink. I definitely would not be surprised at that. But, yeah. That's what I got as far as a couple of these other games. We can dig a little deeper in some other games as well. Obviously, I'm kind of distracted because it does seem like Miami's going to lose this game.
Are you live?
Yeah, I'm live.
Oh,
not all the way live.
Oh, well, I'll just let you see what's going to happen then. For those games, I'm very scared for USC tonight. I think you're playing a team in Arizona State who has found a way to shut down Washington. They went into Utah and smoked Utah, and they're at home and riding high, and now USC comes in kind of in just a funk. So, if I was to bet, I'd bet on Arizona State. They're a 2.5-point underdog, and I would I don't know. I just don't like USC's chances much tonight at all. I just think you have two teams going the opposite direction. And if you can go into Utah and smoke the team and you can control Washington's offense, I really don't see why you can't control us. I mean, I hate to sound negative on my team, but Arizona State's right high. And in regards to the other Arizona team, Arizona with that quarterback Tate, who's like the Nintendo Michael Vick all of a sudden, I think that would be a super fun matchup to watch, Chris. You have, Mike Leach up in Washington State, whose team is still having a hell of a good year. They only got one loss on the season, and they're playing great football. And then you get a team like Arizona, who's got this running back that's running about 200 yards a game every game. And it's just one of those things of, can someone find a way to stop him? Now, for all the credit Washington State gets for being a passing attack team, they have, I believe, the top 8th defense in the country in running. So for being a 5-wide, crazy, go-get-em offense, defensively, they're actually playing maybe even better than their offense this year. So I think that will be another great matchup to watch. Obviously, with the evening not being quite as strong of a slate compared to the afternoon, which is about to kick off literally in just a handful of minutes. One other game, Chris, to mention to you, clearly the injuries or the status of a player could affect this game, but we do have Clemson facing off against Georgia Tech. Clearly Georgia Tech and Tyquan Marshall have been an option attack this year that's been a very successful team. At the start of the year, Georgia Tech, I think people kind of had them as being like maybe 500 or worse. Georgia Tech's been having a hell of a great year, and it took – your Miami Hurricanes' final punch to knock them out. So I think that if they say Kelly Bryant's like 80% healthy, not quite sure exactly what that means, but if he gets dinged up a little bit, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, that ankle troubles me too. You know, it's one thing to have a concussion,
yeah,
but they throw the ankle in there too, and I'm like, ooh, that tells you it's the ankle then, because if he wasn't fully recouped from the concussion, he wouldn't be playing, you know?
Yeah, and Clemson, clearly they're a team that still is in the running for a national title. I mean, he had one loss, but it's not the end of the world. So this is one of those games where, you know, you hope the guy's healthy, but, you know, as we've kind of known through sports in our lifetime, ankles are kind of weird. You know, all it takes is maybe if you re-sprain it, then it's something more serious. He's kind of a mobile quarterback. I mean, he got hurt against Syracuse, I think, running kind of a draw play. So I don't think this game's got quite the media hype because maybe people don't quite believe enough in Georgia Tech. And I believe Clemson's defense has done a good job in containing the option against them. But, I mean, I did watch the second half of that Syracuse upset. And Clemson's quarterback against Syracuse, when Bryant went out, he didn't do much at all. And, you know, Georgia Tech's at least going to maintain the clock and time of possession a little bit. So,
yeah.
I would not be surprised if this game was a lot closer than we expected. Clemson's a 14-point favorite. Now, if you got a fully healthy Bryant that can, you know, move around, I could see an easy Clemson win, because the one negative, Chris, if you're a triple option team, if you get down by a couple of scores, it's incredibly hard to come back because you're not meant to throw the ball. But if it's a close game and Bryant gets dinged up, I think that could be a very entertaining game tonight to add on to the Pac-12 games that you just mentioned. I guess Clemson and – I guess maybe a good overall point for this week, Chris, is a lot of teams that, whether they start at 2:30 now or later in the evening, a lot of teams tonight are kind of playing for their playoff lives. I know we're not entirely near the end of the season yet, but there's a handful of teams playing today, buddy, that they already have one loss on the year, and you had two. You can basically kiss your season goodbye for a national title, barring something really crazy happens.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I love about this system as well. And, you know, when I said I was live on ESPN Live. So that's about 17 minutes behind. I was behind on that fumble. But what do you know? The defense bails out the offense again, you know, with the fumble, just to make it interesting. But then again, let's see. I think they're out of timeouts now, so I think they can milk the clock for the rest of the time. Unless North Carolina has, like, an extra timeout, we won't be the second victory for North Kakalaka. And now it is – what did they finish the last four games regular season, won the bowl game. You know, that bowl game is probably Miami's best win in this run here because it was West Virginia. And, you know, West Virginia was actually better last year than they are this year. We're talking 12 wins in a row now for Miami. The Miami Hurricanes are up to 12 wins in a row, which is, like I said, they weren't all pretty, but I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I want to win some games. And that really helps everything. You know, if you look at our recruiting, we're never that far off in recruiting, and now we're really, you know, getting all the way back there. We got the full scholarships now too, so that helps a lot. But they found a way to get it done. And, you know, Rozier, I said it, you know, he's inconsistent, everything. Sometimes it's the offensive line. Sometimes, as we know, it's the receivers dropping the ball potentially too. Sometimes, though, like I said, his footwork's just off. It's almost like he just wants to gunsling it, even if it's on the run. But he did pick up the needed first down to burn the clock off on third down with a little 7-yard scamper. So kudos to him. One more game that could stand out to us hardcores as a game that really means something to both clubs. I mean, beyond Minnesota and Iowa, obviously, but Mississippi State 5-2 and A&M, Texas A&M at 5-2, Mississippi State 3.5.
Oh my
point
God.
Favorite on the, what happened? Yeah. It better have nothing to do with Miami. Okay. Shoot.
That game's opening kickoff. Saquon Barkley says, "You kick me the ball, I take it to the house." 6-0 Seahawks. I mean, just wow.
All right, let's get to the drafty pick and let's get out of here. Yeah, I don't think they learned.
The same thing happened with Michigan. The same thing happened with someone. Do not kick him the ball. What are you doing, I
don't get it. He did that 2 games ago for a kickoff return. Last week against Michigan, first play of the game, 73-yard touchdown. So do people forget that he is the best player in the country? Oh, well, I'm never going to shed a tear for Ohio State, but my God, I would not kick him. Squib kick it. Kick it out of bounds. Kick it to the guy in the front row. Kick the guy in the second row.
Is he just going to give it to him at the 40?
You could squib kick it to where it lands, like, you know, down to the 20 at least, and make a second line guy return it and try to set him up around the 30. I mean, you know, but they kicked it deep in the end zone. He picked it up and just went not even touched. The kicker dived and tried to. Wow.
Let's get to the crafty pick. These games are popping up.
Okay, yes. Yes, sir. All right. Crafty pick of the week. It is a doozy. I just had it pulled up, too. I believe we have Idaho, which is, you know, north of Potato.
Right there. Right there says it all.
They play Louisiana Monroe. Now, Louisiana Monroe, Chris, is traveling up to Idaho. That is probably an approximately 7-hour drive in the best of my off-the-head knowledge. We're playing at the ASUI Kibi Dome. I'm not sure what ASUI stands for or what KIBBIE. The
Louisiana
ASUI
to Idaho
dome.
Is a 7-hour drive? You skip Texas?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I was just kind of throwing out numbers. I don't really need you to data check that. But moving on, the game is on ESPN. It is at 4 o'clock on October 28th. Idaho is 2-5 on the year. They're 9th in the Sun Belt. Louisiana Monroe is 3-4 on the year, 5th in the Sun Belt. When this game opened at 2.5, it immediately got bet up to 3, then back down to 2.5, and then back up to 3, and now it's back down to 2.5. So I'm pretty sure people cannot make up their mind
who
they think
is
going to
win.
The
shooters
are attacking this, Chris.
Man.
There is so much money riding on Louisiana Monroe, and people are like, you bet them up to 3? No, sir. No one walks into Idaho and makes us be a 2.5-point favorite. We deserve a field goal, darn it. So what's your take on it's the Vandals against the I believe Monroe's the Red Hawks. I'm pretty sure. I believe they're the Red Hawks. On this hot matchup, let me know what you're saying.
Man. And by the way, don't fact check like he said that Idaho to Louisiana. I don't know where the fuck he got that. He must have been eating too many potatoes. Okay, that was bad.
Well, when you factor time change in, you know.
Are you talking about
possibly.
Like in the air, like flying?
maybe a little bit of both.
Does it go Texas, New Mexico, or does it go Louisiana, New Mexico? Because otherwise, unless they've changed the states around and I just didn't know it, I doubt that's a 7-hour drive. But it might not even be a 7-hour flight. No, this is interesting. This is very, very interesting. Idaho has already gone against a Louisiana team, too, the Raging Cajuns.
Adopted team.
Yep, the Raging Cajuns, of course, slapped them around, 21-16,
mm-hmm.
got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Idaho, I got to say, has been tested. They have been tested. It's funny, though. Because Monroe beat our squad, the Raging Cajuns, 56-50 in double overtime. And,
oh boy!
Yeah, so this is a great matchup. This is a phenomenal matchup. Now, Monroe, they're just going to score and give up points. They put up 37 a game, but they give up 38 a game. Whereas Idaho only gives up 31, but then again, they only put up 22 points a game. So it's kind of like this is a good one, man. This is a good one. And,
you know,
last
week Mizzou took out all their pent-up anger on Idaho and dropped, I believe, like 68 on them on Idaho. So I can tell you, Chris, that Idaho's secondary against Missouri was like a D-minus for a letter grade. So their secondary is a little weak, you could say.
Okay. That's nice. That's really nice.
Yep.
I'm going to go, though. I'm going with the home club.
Oh, boy.
I'm going with the potato or the Vandals. Why the fuck are they called the Vandals?
I don't know. All right. Because people steal potatoes, then you get, you know, shivved for doing that. Something like that. That's what I heard. I heard that from the NC State coach.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. He's pissed out up at everything right now.
He hates Idaho, too.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going with the home club, Idaho. God, this is a good one, though, man. I should go with the Warhawks on the road. But you know what? Screw it. I'm going with Idaho, and I'm going to peel some potatoes with them.
Idaho has officially been picked. I will break this game down because I want to know what happens. This is a huge matchup, and if you bet Idaho -2.5, you know, that hook can matter. There's a reason why people always want the -3 when it comes to betting. It's a very important half point. So we'll see how that matchup goes. But as Chris said, I've just seen Ohio State games start, Notre Dame started. Unfortunately, I got hurt on the first play of NC State for the kickoff. He appears to be limping off the field. I hope he's okay. And TCU is about to get rolling. So we have a hell of an afternoon slate of very enjoyable football games. A little bit of a Pac-12 taste to wrap up tonight. Should be a very good day of college football. Great news for our podcast itself. My football season is done. It's been a very good year, but we'll be able to now do Tuesday shows, and it'll be a little more rhythm to the show, so we'll be able to go Tuesday barring anything crazy. And college basketball starts up in like 2 weeks, which is even crazier in itself. So Chris and I'll be back.
It's pretty trippy, though, to see NBA this early, you know. They started it 2 weeks early this year. It's cool, but it threw me off.
And there's been so much drama this year. Every night,
it really has.
Someone's yelling at something. Someone's been in a fight.
Got
in
the fight last night.
That drink, that is just freaking Beal jumped on Draymond Green's back and, like, tried to, you know, freaking wrestle him down, and Draymond just kind of stood there and tried to brace himself, and then he gets
elbow to the stomach.
And Ohio State fumbles, Penn State runs back. Oh, all right, it is time to get locked in on McCann and start watching football. Hopefully,
can I do
you
my
at least
pick
have two
over?
Televisions.
I want to do my pick over. Can I do some picks over?
No, sir, that is not allowed. All right, hope everyone has a very safe, enjoyable weekend. Enjoy this nice little winter sleeping across the country. And the boys will be back soon. Hopefully Scott can be back. And we might actually even do a show in Vegas next week with him and I down there having some beers. And maybe we can find a way to sneak Chris down there. We'll come up with a con to sneak him down. We can do an all-Vegas show. I'll just have to find a way.
I'll just drive down there. It's only like 5 hours from my house, so I'll just drive down there real quick.
Oh, inside jokes. You know, pretty good stuff. All right, on that note, today was a fun show. Enjoy all the football today. The boys will be back soon. Have a good one. Peace.